You are listening to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers and the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. In this episode, we have Antonio, a specialty cut flower grower in the Toronto area. He's been growing most all his life, coming from a long line of vegetable growers. He discovered flowers at an early age and was totally hooked. Today, he's living his dream. Through product differentiation, customer education, and a whole bunch of hard work, Antonio now has a waitlist of designers who are on standby for his specialty cut flowers. In this podcast, Antonio is sharing his top five cut flowers, how he got started in growing, his business models, taking photos for Instagram, equipment investments that have really paid off big time, plant experiments for chilly climates, and big challenges for cut flower growers and how he overcame them. You can connect with Antonio on Instagram at Antonio Valente Flowers. Welcome, Antonio. It's so great to have you here on the Team Flower Podcast today. Welcome.
Thanks, Kelly. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of questions. We sent out some things to your Instagram followers, and they had quite a few questions. So we're going to try to get to as many of them as we can. The first question is, are there any crops that you've planted that maybe you didn't think would work in your cool climate? You're in Canada, around Toronto area, but maybe that you tried it anyway. I was curious which ones worked and which ones didn't.
Okay, a good question. I'll be honest with you, I've actually been gardening since I was a kid. So I have a pretty good idea of what works here and what won't. So I have that little bit of an advantage.
Right.
However, last season I did decide to run a little bit of an experiment here. We typically plant snapdragons in the spring, but I wanted to try a winter planting of some Chantilly snapdragons. Now, if you don't know, snapdragons that are planted in the fall and then overwintered, they tend to bloom earlier the following spring and they're generally more robust.
Right.
So contrary to what everyone told me, that it was just way too cold up here to plant snaps in the winter, I decided to go ahead and plant 600 snaps last fall.
Wow.
Yeah, but I placed mini hoops over them, or sometimes, you know, they're referred to like low tunnels.
Right.
Uh-huh. Just to give them a little bit of extra protection.
Yes.
So now that it's spring, I'm happy and pleased to report that those snapdragons did in fact make it through the winter.
Awesome.
And this year they'll be producing a bumper crop of spring flowers.
Oh, I imagine. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad that you went for it and that you tried it. And great reward on the other end. Would you say that it was kind of a hard winter, average, a little easier? What was the winter like, if you were to categorize it?
I'd say our winter this year was a little bit easier, a little bit kinder, let's put it that way. But I mean, testing the boundaries of what we can and can't plant, I think that's just so important up here.
Right.
And so the snapdragons don't mind our winters, apparently.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. The next question, are there any investments that you've made in the farm that you really feel like paid off? And if you had a do-over, would you change the order that you made the purchases or maybe omit some? What would somebody who's, you know, getting into flower farming and thinking about, okay, I'm going to, you know, make this big purchase. I hope it's worth it. Just wondering what your opinion was for that.
Yeah. Okay, well, the first thing I'd recommend starting out with is a good walk-behind rototiller. It's really one of the few pieces of mechanized equipment that I have here, but it is a heavy-duty model. I'd recommend to anybody, you know, don't waste your money on any of those lightweight rototillers. Mm-hmm. You know, invest in a really good walk-behind rototiller if you can.
Yeah.
Secondly, that I would recommend investing in is some really good woven landscape fabric as a weed barrier. If you've never used landscape fabric as a weed barrier, it is a lifesaver. Spend the money on the good quality stuff. It is pricey, but it does last.
Okay.
And then, thirdly, another investment is install a really good drip irrigation system. I started out years ago using soaker hoses from the local hardware store, but as my business has grown, I've slowly switched over to drip tape, and you can actually buy kits. You have to put them together yourself, but they're actually a lot less intimidating to put together than you might think.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's great because it gets we need the water down at the roots, those long, slow, you know, where the water's trickling deep down so the roots are chasing after them.
Absolutely. That's the best type of watering to do. And actually last summer we had our driest summer on record up here around Southern Ontario, and it was a lifesaver last year.
Good. So good to hear that. Well, that's awesome. So The walk behind rototiller, the landscape fabric, and the drip irrigation.
Absolutely.
Those are the three keys.
For
Perfect.
Sure.
Next question is, in-house photo skills are really important for business. And we were wondering who takes your photos and what you do to prepare. Everyone loves them. do you have a list of shots that you like to get, or does it just kind of happen organically? What's going through your mind to make sure that you've got photos of those flowers out there into the world so they can get sold?
Thank you. You know what? This is actually such a nice question because I'm always feeling like I actually need to up my game on photography, I'll be honest. But I take all my own photos, unless, of course, I'm in the photo myself, in which case I just, you know, I grab whomever is close by that can snap the photo for me. But I generally set up the photo in advance for them. Typically, I also have, I have an idea of what the photo should look like or what I want to achieve in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very much inspired by what goes on around here on a day-to-day basis. You know, trust me, there are numerous instances where I've just finished harvesting hundreds of dahlias and I'm literally surrounded by beauty, but sadly there's no one around to snap a spontaneous photo of me.
Right. Okay, what would you say are the biggest challenges facing local cut flower growers? Is it industry acceptance or distribution, customer awareness? This question comes from Christine.
Okay, excellent. Industry acceptance was a little bit of a challenge in the very beginning when I started out years ago, which is actually why I started selling at farmers markets. I remember very early on walking into a couple of flower shops in my area, but the florists weren't generally very receptive to the whole locally grown organic flower movement. But it just turned out that they probably weren't the right type of florists for me, and that their style just wasn't a very good fit for me, clearly, because, you know, today I'm at the point now where I can't even keep up with the demand.
The demand, sure.
And I actually have a waiting list of florists who want to be added to my availability list. So I think it's something that's really taken off more in sort of the downtown Toronto area rather than, you know, where I am, which is kind of a little bit on the outskirts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah. Perfect. In terms of distribution, this is a little bit of an issue for smaller growers such as myself. The larger flower auctions and wholesalers in the area, they actually require that we produce a minimum of product over the season, and I'm not there yet. So So I actually personally deliver the flowers to various shops throughout the city with my pickup truck, which can be a little bit time consuming. I'll be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then for consumer awareness, I think this is slowly changing. You know, I try to educate people at every chance that I can, you know, and I just, you know, I let them know that, you know, locally grown flowers have a lot less, you know, chemicals that are applied to them in compared to the imported stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I let them know that they're supporting their neighbors, they're supporting local farms and farmers.
Right.
And of course, when you're buying local flowers, they're always going to be fresher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
well, that's great. Well, this next question that we have is coming from Jessica.
Okay.
And she is asking if you can tell us a little bit about your farm and your business model. You know, what size land are you growing on? What are you growing? Where do you sell to? Which we kind of covered that a little bit already.
Okay.
But question.
Yeah, you know, I'm often asked this question. I'm often asked, how many acres do I farm? And most people are quite surprised to learn that I have a very small half-acre plot. That's
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just...
You can do a lot with it. You really can.
Oh, my God. You can. You know, you just need to employ techniques for sort of, you know, like small-scale, high-output farming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as one of the... You know, I call myself one of the little guys in the field of cut flower growing. I am competing with large-scale growers who are producing acres of flowers. So I try to grow varieties that a florist wouldn't typically find from a large scale wholesaler.
Very smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This allows me to, you know, differentiate myself and to compete with, you know, the bigger growers. My flowers are also raised in a completely sustainable fashion, which is another facet of my business that I think allows me to stand out from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have already mentioned, most of my flowers are purchased by, you know, florists in the downtown Toronto area. And, you know, the whole locally grown flower movement, it's been really catching on. I am so proud and so fortunate to be living so close to a city whose florists have really come to truly embrace this local flower movement.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, that's great. It's really encouraging to see that taking off. And I think we're going to start to see just more flowers back in homes of everyday people.
Oh, yeah.
Will be one of the results of this. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, the next question is coming from Deanna, and she is asking, how did you get your start in flower farming? Was it something that you always wanted to do? I know you mentioned you've been doing it since you were young.
Yeah.
But even then, what was it about it?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been gardening all my life, but I actually come from a long line of avid vegetable growers.
Okay.
I'm currently actually growing the flowers where my father and my grandfather once grew their veggies. And, you know, while I never quite took to vegetable growing as they did, it certainly left a bit of a niche for me to fully explore flower growing. And I remember growing up, my dad setting aside a small plot of land just for myself amongst his vegetables every year. And it was here that I was able to grow whatever I chose. And then, you know...
So like, what'd you pick? What was the first thing you grew?
Oh, God. You know what? Okay, initially, I did start out growing vegetables just to appease my father. And I remember when you were doing artichokes, which was kind of unique, tomatoes, Brussels sprouts. And then it just slowly shifted to, you know, more flowers rather than vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, over the years, like many of us, I eventually, you know, I grew up, I got a typical office job, and I had sort of forgotten about gardening for a short little while. And then, you know, as an antidote to that sort of, you know, humdrum office life, you know, I decided to plant a few of my own cut flowers just for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that first year, this was maybe about 7 years ago, I literally started with 4 dahlia tubers in that first year. And ever since then, my cut flower garden has expanded. And, you know, I soon had neighbors requesting bouquets, and I had a Saturday morning roadside stand. And then,
now how old are you at this point?
Oh,
when the business begins and you're making these bouquets and things for neighbors?
You know, mid-20s-ish,
okay,
let's say. Yeah, yeah. When you sort of enter I guess when I sort of started entering the workforce and I kind of needed something else that I was passionate about, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, it wasn't long before I started, you know, attending farmers markets to sell my flowers. And then this is where actually a florist first discovered me. She said, you know, oh, I love your flowers. Where do you get them from? And I told her, I said, well, actually, I grow them. And so she was actually the first florist that asked if she could start purchasing my flowers wholesale. And then, you know, word just quickly spread amongst florists. And, you know, today I actually sell almost exclusively to florists who, you know, have an appreciation for locally grown flowers and foliage.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, the last question is coming from Colleen, who is in that place where she's, you know, growing some flowers for herself at home. Mm-hmm. So she asked for the home gardener, what do you think are the top 5 cut flowers to grow?
Okay, good question. Number 1, dahlias.
Where you got your start.
Exactly. That's
They're
what got
fantastic.
Me. That's what got me into this whole mess. So they have a special place in my heart. And they're just so luxurious and productive. You can't go wrong with dahlias.
Right.
Secondly, I would say are zinnias, and they happen to actually be the second cut flower that I started growing, and I was using them as filler flowers to the dahlias when I would go to the markets.
Mm-hmm. Well, the color variety in them is so fantastic. I mean, really, any color under the sun, bright to muddy, there's such great color ranges in there. So surely you can find, you know, and very easy to grow.
They're, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So beautiful. Mm-hmm. The new colors that they're breeding right now.
Yeah.
Thirdly, I would say any one of the open-faced snapdragons, like the Chantilly series or the Madame Butterfly series.
So cute.
So pretty. And scented,
absolutely.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fourthly, I would say asters or the China asters. I don't know if you've ever grown them, but the amount of flowers you get per plant is insane. Like, you will look like a pro in no time. And, you know, and gone are the days when they only came in, like, fluorescent pink. Mm-hmm. Some of the newer colors that they're breeding are gorgeous. You do, however, need to succession sow them if you want a longer season.
Okay. Yeah. So just how much space between the plantings do you think? 4 weeks, 3 weeks, two? I mean,
you could probably do 2 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You can give them a little bit of space. Yeah. At least 3 weeks for sure.
Okay.
And then lastly, my fifth choice is actually going to be a type of foliage. I'm going to say nine bark or physocarpum.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Grow every variety you can get your hands on. I know when I've started out, I tended to ignore the planting of foliages in the beginning, but it's such an integral part of design, and florists are always asking me for good foliage, and it takes a while for a shrub to fully establish itself. So plant them early on, just when you're starting out, and you'll have them for years. You'll be snipping away for them for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
They're so useful.
Wow. Yeah, I love that foliage. I have the dark one, and it grows natively here in Boone. So you'll see along the roadsides these huge, just like swaths of it if you needed to do big arbors or things like that. So
beautiful.
Yeah, I never thought to you know, look around for it, but I had it in the garden first, and then I was like, wait a second, I think that's it. I see it.
You need sure to go on enough. A hike with, but bring your snippers yeah. with you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, that's perfect. Thank you so much for sharing all of this great information with us. It's been so fun to have you here on the show, and really looking forward to all that's ahead for your business. Is there anything else that you would like to share with everyone before we sign off here today?
No, I think that's everything, but yeah, thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Perfect. Good. Well, and thank you so much to everybody who's tuned in to listen. We'll see you next time on the Team Flower Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower. Team Flower is an online learning community and a big group of florists that are focused on loving the world through flowers. Whether you're a professional farmer or florist getting started or just love flowers, welcome to the party. If you'd like to know when new podcast episodes are released and receive fun video tutorials and articles, sign up for our Pen Pal Club. It's free. Visit teamflower.org and click on free resources.